Our Old Testament reading for this first Sunday after Christmas is found in your Bibles in the book of the prophet Isaiah, the 61st chapter, and we begin reading at verse 10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exult in my God. For he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. The bridegroom decks himself like a priest with a beautiful headdress, as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its sprouts, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to sprout up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to sprout up before all the nations. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. And for Jerusalem's sake, I will not be quiet. Until her righteousness goes forth as brightness, and her salvation as a burning torch. The nations shall see your righteousness, and all the kings your glory. And you shall be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will give. You shall be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. This is the word of the Lord. Our second reading is from the book of Galatians, the 4th chapter, and we begin reading at verse 4. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir through God. The Holy Gospel is found in the Gospel according to St. Luke, the 2nd chapter, and we begin reading at verse 22. When the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, Mary and Joseph brought Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord. Every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people, Israel. His father and his mother marveled what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed. The sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that the thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. And there was a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom. The favor of God was upon him. Grace, mercy, and a peace be to you, from God our Heavenly Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. My text is based in part on your epistle lesson for today. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. This is our text. As you read through the four different Gospels that we have in Scripture, you find that each one has a particular flavor, if you will, in terms of the events from Jesus' life that they chose to record. Two of the Gospels include no information about the childhood of Jesus. Matthew tells us about his birth and the visit of the shepherds and how Herod tried to kill the infant. But then beyond that, it also tells us very little about the childhood of Jesus. Luke is the only gospel that really tells us much about Jesus as he was growing up. The fact that he was brought to the temple to perform various rites that the law of Moses had recorded. And also when he was 12 years old. The time at which a Jewish child was considered to be obligated now to obey all the laws of the Lord. And so Jesus, at 12 years old, must attend Passover. Luke records that event for us. Why does Luke tell us so much about the childhood of Jesus? Well, while we might be interested in knowing what Jesus was like when he was growing up, the only events he really records have a specific point they are trying to make. And from his birth forward, everything that happened in the life of Jesus happened according to the law of God given through Moses. And that even from an infant forward. Jesus perfectly obeyed the law of God. Galatians chapter 4, making the point also for us. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. Our God is a righteous God. He is a God of justice. So, when man fell into sin, God required that there be a payment made for that sin. And my friends and fellow Christians, When understanding the righteousness and the justice of God, make no mistake, God doesn't cut anyone any slack. In our world today, we have a rather confused sense of what justice is, particularly during these last several months. It seems to be so confusing. With approval from many leaders of our nation and leaders of cities, you can gather together in large groups to riot and burn things down, and the police will be ordered not to do a thing. But gather together in a group more than 10 to worship your Lord, you might be arrested. If you're born a certain color, you are told that you're automatically privileged, and you must give up certain things because of that. And if you were born of a different color, you might be excused for breaking the law. If you are rich, you might live by one set of rules. And at the same time, impose other rules upon others who don't have as much. We recoil sometimes at these injustices that we see, but you know, it's something we do ourselves frequently. Which one among us has never made an excuse for something we knew to be wrong? From childhood on, we always have excuses. Maybe you got in a fight with your sibling and did something you shouldn't do. Well, they did that first. I've got an excuse. Our human nature, while the law of God has been implanted into the heart of every human being, our sinful human nature is always trying to find some excuse, some reason why to us in this particular situation, well, you know, the law really doesn't apply. That's how sinful man would like to see the law work. God knows nothing of excuses. He knows nothing of privilege. He has one law for all people. And it's blatantly simple. It applies to all. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. And one day when God does come to judge the world, one condemnation will be applied to all people. And if we want to be free from that one condemnation, there is one way that God has provided we might escape. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. Christ was many things during his earthly ministry. He was a great teacher. a great healer, a great shower of mercy. But it is not those things specifically why he came to earth. Because God has taught his word to the prophets at many times and in many places. Christ didn't come to teach something new. He came to be a sacrifice, to make that payment of human flesh that God required. And thus the Son of God was born of woman. And even as a young child, on the day he was circumcised, he began to give up his life, his flesh, his blood, to make that payment for sin that God required of man. He was obedient to death, even death on the cross. And more than that, in the greatest mystery of all time, on the cross he suffered hell itself. In some mysterious way, he who is one with the Father and the Holy Spirit, in some way was abandoned by the Father as he suffered on the cross and cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Yes, that which God requires of us, that price which we had to pay for sins, Christ paid for us in his death and in suffering the pangs of hell as he hung there on the cross. But not because he broke any law himself. He was sinless, perfect. Born of woman, born under law, to redeem those under the law. So that in his resurrection, we too could rise and receive adoption as sons. Because we are now sons through the resurrection of Christ, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir through God. Great teacher, great healer, great person. Christ indeed was all those things. But if that was all he was, we all would be lost. Because God's justice is not man's justice. His righteousness is not our kind of righteousness. God cuts no slack. The word of law he makes for one, he makes for all. And this is the law of God. Soul that sinneth, it shall die. But thanks be to God. That payment for our sins has already been made. In that little child, who as a child, and all throughout his life, all the way to the cross, was completely obedient to his Father who was in heaven. Through his flesh, our flesh might be redeemed. through his obedience to the law, he might redeem those under the law, so that we could now, through adoption, address God as our Father, who art in heaven. And look forward to that day when Christ comes again, knowing that it will not be the day of our judgment, but the day of our redemption. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.